Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
How are we doing? That's good. I'm really excited for the word that God has given me for tonight. It's been quite a process preparing for it this week because I have had this topic on my heart for a few weeks now, and as I was thinking about it and what I wanted to say and just planning everything, I was like, right, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to start here and then we're going to end over here. But then, like, as I actually started doing it, like, we still start here, but we kind of, like, God has sort of taken it and now we're ending over here. So I'm really excited for the way that God has just had his hand in and through this, and I know that it's going to be a word for someone here tonight. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the privilege that it is for us to be able to come, to be able to gather together under your name, Lord Jesus, and to be able to receive from you. So tonight, as I bring your word, Lord God, I just pray that you would it would be your words that you speak through me, Lord God. We just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we just thank you in advance for the work that you're going to do in our lives this evening. So we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you want to grab your Bibles or device or whatever you've got, we're going to start in Mark chapter 11, verse 15. We'll have it on the screens as well. But the title of my message tonight is Temples and Tables. We're talking about temples and tables tonight. And so we'll get started in Mark chapter 11. When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifices. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, 'My temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have turned it into a den of thieves." When the leading priests and teachers of religious law heard what Jesus had done, they began planning how to kill him. But they were afraid of him because the people were so amazed at his teaching. That evening, Jesus and the disciples left the city. So you may or may not know, our church office downstairs is newly renovated. And it looks really great. There's like fresh paint and there's only one type of carpet in there now, not three. And there's new furniture and all the fun stuff. And it looks really good. And now, I personally have never done any building or renovating, but I feel like I have enough common sense and I've watched enough episodes of Fixer Upper to be able to tell you that when you're building something or you're renovating an area, you're renovating a space, you need to do it with the intended functionality of the space in mind. So you need to customize a space for the specific purpose, yeah? And so this, I'm assuming, was no different. So in the lead up to this, Andy had plans of what the office was going to look like, and him and Skye were like going around measuring people's offices while we were still in them doing work, and he just measured around us. But he would go around and show us, you know, this is what your office is going to look like, and you're going to get a desk here and you're going to get a window. I didn't have a window before. I have a window now, guys. It's really exciting. And, you know, Matt Bert, he got crazy amounts of storage in his office because the youth have a lot of junk that needs to be stored somewhere, and we got a new reception desk, and some thought went into it. Some thought went into the process of renovating the office, and it was done with the intent of being a functional office space. Is that correct, Andy? You put some thought into it? Yes, he did. Great. But say that Matt Bert, for example, I can pick on him because he's not here. He decided that he wanted to use his surprisingly still clean office, and he decided, thanks for the new office, but I don't really want to use it for this. I am going to convert it into like a workout space. And he brings in all this gym equipment and he uses all that fancy new storage that he's got to store like footy gear and weights and whatever sporting people have. And he's like, thanks, but I'm going to use it for this instead. I'm pretty sure that after a little while, Andy would be like, Matt, can you get all this stuff out of here? Because that's not why you got a new office. That's not why I gave you all this storage. That's not the intent I had in mind when we renovated this office. That's not what it was designed for. And so here in this passage in Mark, we have Jesus And he comes into the temple, he comes into God's house, he comes into his house, and he sees people using the temple as a marketplace. So he sees these priests, they're selling animals for people to use as a sacrifice, and they're ripping people off with crazy exchange rates, and they're using the temple to profit themselves. And he's not happy about it. So he's flipping tables over, he's knocking over dove displays, there's money flying everywhere. He destroyed their setup. It says he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. Why? Because a marketplace was not the intended purpose of the temple. The purpose of the temple, in the way that it was designed, even in the very architecture itself, was to reflect the glory of God and for people to be drawn to him. And did you know that you are a temple? And not a temple in the highly marketable sense of my body is a temple, therefore I'm only going to have like organic superfoods and go to the spa very regularly because, you know, my inner warrior goddess deserves it. Not that you are a temple, because that temple is set up only to glorify yourself. But you are a temple, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and that is what you are. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. You are a temple. The word of God makes that clear. So you, both you as an individual and you, the wider body of Christ, are God's temple. But for tonight, we're just talking about you, the individual, are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God's dwelling place is no longer a physical building. It is you. The presence of the living God, the creator of the universe, he's not far away just floating out there in the universe, out in the distance, but he's actually living inside of you. I don't know how you can get much closer than that. And so if you in your physical body, in your behavior, in your life, are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so my question, my challenge for you tonight, if Jesus were to walk into the temple of your life, what tables would he flip? What tables have you got set up in the temple of your life that need to go? What in your life doesn't match the intended purposes of God for you as his temple? And I imagine as you ask yourself that question, there might be a couple of immediate reactions that you have to that. And the first one is, if you ask yourself, what tables would God flip in my life? The first one would be, oh, I hope he doesn't find any. I hope he doesn't find any tables. I hope I can say, Jesus, come on into the temple of my life and look how clean and tidy and neat and in order everything is. Another possible reaction is to bolt the tables to the floor. You know how like in some restaurants they have the tables bolted to the floor and it's so annoying when you've got a big group of people and you can't move them? But I think that's what some of us do. Bolt the tables to the floor and say, you know, Jesus, you're welcome to come on into the temple, but please don't disturb anything, don't touch anything, just leave everything the way you found it, okay? I like it there. And we see that reaction in the priests and the religious leaders, because when they heard what happened, when they heard how Jesus had destroyed their setup, they wanted to kill him. They began planning to kill him because they liked their setup and they weren't happy about Jesus destroying it. But I want to challenge you tonight with a third response. And that's to say, Jesus, come into the temple of my life. Feel free to knock over anything you want. Wherever I've set up things that aren't in line with your intended purpose for me, get rid of it. To actually let him, even invite him, to start turning over tables and to allow him to do a renovation to bring us back to our intended purpose as his temple. And so if we now are living temples of the Holy Spirit, in order for us to be able to live that out, we need to look at the original intent. What did God design the temple to be? And so the first thing we need to know is, what is the purpose? So the original idea for the temple came from King David. So prior to the temple being built, Israel had the tabernacle, which Graham touched on this morning, the tabernacle being a place where the people met with God, that God's presence resided. And so King David, he one day said, you know, I've got this great big house and the presence of God is outside in a tent. I want to build him a permanent dwelling place. I want to build him a temple. And God said, okay, no worries, but I don't want you to do it. I want your son to do it. So it was actually King Solomon who built the temple. And once he had finished building the temple, he prays this beautiful prayer of dedication of the temple back to God. If we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we see the Lord's response to Solomon after he has built and dedicated the temple. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if we start at verse 12, then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. And so the temple, it had many, many, many purposes. Many things took place in the temple, and there's so much symbolism and typology in the temple, in its architecture, in the design, in the furnishings, in the rituals and the activities that went on there. And I don't have time to get into any of that tonight, but we can in this passage see a few temple purposes. So we see here, right at the start, I have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. So it was a place for sacrifice. And he says that my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. So it was a place for prayer. But the one that I want to focus on tonight, the purpose that we're going to unpack is in verse 16. So he says, for I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. And you know, Solomon says as he's getting ready to build the temple, in chapter 2, verse 4, he says, I'm about to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord. And then after years go by, once he's finally finished building the temple, once the construction is done, he again says in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, I have built this temple to honor the name of the Lord. So from start to finish, the intended purpose of the temple was that it might honor the name of the Lord. That is why it was created, to reflect, to honor, to glorify, to carry the name and the presence of God. And so for you as a temple, that is your purpose, to reflect, to honor, to glorify, and to carry the name of Jesus. It's literally why you were created. If we go way back in the beginning, God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness. And so even the functionality that God had in mind when he designed you was that you would be like him, that you would carry his image. You were designed by the Creator with the very purpose of bringing honor to him. And so if we look here at this verse, we find something important, because Solomon didn't slap God's name, like he didn't build a temple and then just like slap God's name on the side of it and say, there you go, God, enjoy your new house. It was very expensive to build. I hope you like it. That's not what he did. Instead, in chapter 7, verse 16, we see that God says, I have chosen this temple. God chose. He chose the temple to be a place for his name. And you know, when you put your name on something, you're claiming ownership. And so in putting his name on the temple, he was claiming ownership of it. But now, as we've established, you are his temple. You are his dwelling place. And so through the work of the cross, his name is now on you. We are his. And there's such an incredible sense of identity that we get with that. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Andy unpacked this in a message called I Belong to Jesus, and just the identity we have in him. And when we have his name on us, it carries with that identity because of who you are in Christ, but it also brings with it responsibility because of who you now represent. And so this here, this is my church staff lanyard. has a picture of me on it. It says Steph Berry. It identifies me. You see, it's not just my name that's on this. It actually says, oh, it's the wrong way around. It says LMC staff. It's in a bunch of places. And so the thing is, if I'm wearing this and I go down to Churnside for whatever reason and I have this on, as I'm walking around the shops, whether I like it or not, I'm a representative of the church because I'm literally wearing the name of the church. And so just to really, you know, hammer the point home, let's get rid of that. This is my other work ID. Also has a picture of me on it. It's not as good as the other picture. The other picture actually is a little bit better, but this one's a bit more fun because it's got like one of the zip thingies and I like gets me access into rooms and things like that. But same thing, it has a picture of me, it has my name, and it also has the name of the hospital that I work at on it. And so if I have this on and I, you know, stop off for petrol or a coffee or something on my way to work, not at the same place, don't buy your coffee where you buy. If you take anything away from tonight, don't buy your coffee where you buy your petrol. But if I stop off and I'm out in public and I'm wearing this, if I've got this on and I am rude and impatient and disrespectful to others while I've got this on, it reflects poorly on the organisation because I'm wearing their name. So whichever one I've got on, I am a reflection of that because I'm wearing the name. And so if you are a Christian, you, by the way that you behave, the way that you respond to certain situations in your attitudes, you are representing Christ to others because as his temple, you are wearing his name. And so if we go back to Jesus in the temple, this event of knocking over all the tables, it took place in a part of the temple called the Court of Gentiles. And this section of the temple was so that those who were from other nations, those who weren't Jewish, they could come to the temple and they could bring a sacrifice and worship. And it required an unblemished sacrifice. So what the leaders did, they set up stalls inside the temple, kind of like the, you know how when you go to like gift shops, like museums and stuff, they've got it all like conveniently there for you and they charge you crazy, crazy prices. That's kind of what they were doing here. They set up stalls inside the temple for people from other nations to purchase unblemished animals to use as a sacrifice. Only the thing is, they were charging them way more than they needed to and all sorts of extravagant fees and conversion rates in the process. And so they were making a profit for themselves. And one commentary on this I read said that if a Gentile visited the temple and saw what the Jews were doing in the name of the true God, he would never want to believe what they taught. And so when Jesus comes in and he looks around and he sees what's going on and he's like, hold on, my house is supposed to be a house of prayer. It is supposed to be a place where people call upon my name. And what you're doing here, this isn't bringing honor to my name. This isn't the purpose of the temple that I put my name on. This isn't representing me very well. And so he knocks over the tables. It was a problem because it was a contradiction to the purpose of the temple. And the thing is, once you know the purpose of a temple, it puts you in a better position to be able to find if there's a problem. So that brings us to, we've done the purpose and we're going to do the problem. If the purpose of a temple is to carry, to honour, to glorify the name of God, anything in your life that doesn't serve that purpose is a problem. And it is a table that needs to be flipped. And so a couple of years ago, this Netflix documentary / reality series came out called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. Marie, does anyone know? Which one? Okay, great. We'll say Marie, with Marie Kondo. And so in this show, this tiny little Japanese lady called Marie Kondo goes around to people's houses and she helps them sort through all their junk. She helps them tidy up and organise their houses and throw out things that they don't need anymore. So she gets people, the way she does this is she gets people to go into a room in their house and to grab literally everything that they own. So all of their clothes, all of their books, all their paperwork, everything, and you put it in a pile in the middle of the room. And then what she gets people to do is go to the pile and grab each thing one by one, and you're supposed to hold it, and then you ask yourself, of the item that you're holding, does this spark joy? And if it does, you get to keep it, and if it doesn't, you have to chuck it out. And so I was watching this series a couple of years ago. And when I say watching, I mean I watched maybe two episodes because after that, they're all pretty much the same. But I was watching it and I was like, yeah, I can do that. I can be a minimalist. I can throw out all my things. That's fine. So I tried it. I put all my stuff in a giant pile in the middle of my room and I like started picking up my clothes. I missed that, but I'm sure it was a crack about my room from my parents. It is not still there. It is not still there. But I got all my stuff and I put it in a pile and I picked it up and instead of asking, does this spark joy? Because that felt weird. So I'd like pick it up and be like, do I need this? Do I have any use for this? Am I going to use it anytime in the future? When was the last time that I used it? Who wants to guess what the end result of this endeavor of mine was? Graham's hit the nail on the head. I chucked out a couple things, but for the most part, I'd pick stuff up and was like, yeah, I still like this. This can go back in my wardrobe. And so pretty much the only things that got chucked out were things that, you know, had holes in them or whatever. Because at the end of the day, I was like, well, I like all of these clothes. Like, I wouldn't have bought them. I wouldn't own them if I didn't like them. Why would I want to get rid of all these perfectly good clothes? And in a passage in Mark 11, it's often referred to as the cleansing of the temple. So when you cleanse something, what are you doing? You're cleaning it. To cleanse is to remove all the dirt and harmful substances. It's getting rid of the junk. Jesus was cleansing the temple and he was getting rid of all the junk that had accumulated. And when it comes to the temple of our lives, we can look around and we can survey all of our stuff. We can put it in a big pile. We look at our relationships, all our habits, and you say, you know what? I actually like all of this stuff. I'm pretty happy with my life. I like my setup. I'm keeping it. Why would I want God to start flipping tables? Why would I want to get rid of all this perfectly good stuff? Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. When we get rid of the junk, we are renewed in the image of our Creator. We become like Him. We become a better image of Him. We become a better representation of Him. And so if we want to be like Jesus, we have to let Him knock over the tables that are contrary to that purpose. And you might be like, Steph, you keep talking about all these tables. What are you actually talking about? I need an example. Well, tables are anything, and I mean anything, in your life that doesn't serve the purpose of a temple. And so if you were to do stock take and you put everything in your life in a big pile in the middle of your temple, as you go through the things, instead of asking yourself, does this spark joy? Because that is the wrong question to ask. Ask yourself, does this bring honor to the name? And if the answer is yes, it can stay. If the answer is no, then it's got to go. It's a table that needs to be knocked over. And so if my attitude and the words that are coming out of my mouth don't honor the name of Jesus, it is a table that needs to be flipped. If my identity is found in my relationships instead of in the name of Jesus, that is a table that needs to be flipped. If I'm harboring unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness towards others and I allow that to dictate my actions, that is a table that needs to be flipped. If the shows that I'm watching, the music I'm listening to, the content that I'm consuming, the things that I'm buying, if they are not God-honoring, that is a table that needs to be flipped. If we're reckless in our finances and we're not being good stewards of what God has given us, it is a table that needs to be flipped. If we're picking up devices before we're picking up the Word of God, it is a table that needs to be flipped. And the thing is, not all of these things are inherently bad. There's nothing wrong with relationships and having a job and money and watching TV and owning devices. But the thing is, when we honour them above the name that is above all names, or when we allow them to hold a greater influence over our lives, they become a problem. And when that happens, slowly but surely, these tables get set up in the temples of our lives and we don't even realise it. We can't see the problem. We can't find the tables, which is why we need to ask God to show us where they are and then let Him knock them down. Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now that is a bold prayer. Because what you're saying, if we put that into the context of being a temple, is you're saying, God, come over into the temple of my life and my heart and my mind. Point out the tables that I've set up and knock them over so that my life might bring honor to your name. And that's a gutsy prayer, because what you are doing is you are inviting God to point out the things in your life that he doesn't like. It doesn't sound particularly fun. But the thing is, we can pray that prayer with confidence, knowing that he is for us. Here's why. We've done the purpose, we've done the problem, but there's one more, and that's the promise. If we go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in verse 15, I'm going to have a look at the way that God talks about the temple. In verse 15, he says, "My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart." He promises to watch over his temple. He says, "My eyes will be open and my ears attentive. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart." And you might be like, yeah, but that's the literal Old Testament temple. God is talking about a building. But I want to show you something. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Chosen, holy, special possession. The way that he spoke about his temple is the same way that he now speaks about you. And the promises that he made to the temple, he now makes to you. His eyes and his ears are towards you. He will always watch over you. In Matthew chapter 28, as Jesus is leaving his disciples in the Great Commission, in verse 19 to 20, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Amen." And I love that word in there, even. I am always with you, even to the end of the age. No matter the circumstance, the situation we find ourselves in, he is with us. He is watching over us. Even when it looks hopeless, I am with you. Even when we're overwhelmed, even in the times that we feel our lives are too messy, even when we feel like we've just got too many tables set up in our temple, he is with us, watching over us. Because you, his temple, are dear to his heart. And when we understand that, it changes everything. Because you are dear to his heart, he has set you, his temple, apart to be holy. He has created you in his image. He has created you with purpose. He has lavished his love on you that you might be called his child. Because you are dear to his heart. He put his name on his temple, and now because you are dear to his heart, he has put his name on you. And he doesn't put his name on junk. But the thing is, he's put his name on you, and now it's up to you to carry it well. And so I want to ask you the same question that I asked at the start. If Jesus were to come and he were to walk into the temple of your life, what tables would he flip over? And I wonder, is there anything that immediately springs to mind when you ask yourself that question? Because if there is, that's probably the Holy Spirit pointing something out to you, saying, this right here, this is a problem, this is a table, and it needs to go. But my encouragement to you tonight, don't bolt the tables to the floor. Let him flip them over. Because the thing is, as he flips them over, as we allow him to get rid of the muck, as we allow him to cleanse us, we're being transformed into his image. We're coming back to our very purpose. We're becoming more like him. And I don't know about you, but I want to be more like Jesus. So we need to let him knock over all the stuff that gets in the way of that, because you are dear to his heart. And it doesn't necessarily sound like a fun process where we have our temples and we've got everything just in order and we have it all set up the way that we like it. And it's like, God, I don't want you to come in and destroy everything. I've this has been my setup for such a long time. I don't really, I'm good with the way it is. I'm comfortable. I don't want you to change anything. I'm not good with change. Just leave everything where you found it. I don't want to have to clean up the mess of you knocking everything down. But the thing is, if we let him knock everything down, we're actually clearing the obstacles out the way so that we can be in relationship with him. Because, you know, we look at, looking at the temple, one of the purposes of the temple was that it would be a house of prayer. It was a place that people came to meet with the presence of God. It was a place where people came to be in relationship. It was a place where people came to encounter the presence of the living God. And so when we allow him to knock things down, when we allow him to get rid of things in our lives that are contrary to the purpose of a temple, we're better positioning ourselves to encounter him. We're better positioning ourselves to be able to come into relationship with him, to receive what it is that he has for us. And it's bold and it's a hard thing to pray. But, you know, it's something that we sing all the time. We always sing songs like, Jesus, have your way in us. Holy Spirit, have your way. God, Jesus, I surrender. And I think sometimes as we sing them, we don't necessarily understand the gravity of the words that we're singing. This is what we're doing. We're saying, Jesus, come into my temple and knock things down. Knock over what doesn't belong there. Knock over whatever it is that gets me, that gets in between my relationship with you. And as much as we like our setup, I can tell you right now that if you let him knock it down, the way that his setup is going to be so much better. His setup is so much better. His plans for the temple are so much better than anything you could imagine. Any plans that you could draw up for what you want your temple to look like, his are so much better. And he's not going to hurt you in the process because you are dear to his heart. So tonight, I want to pray. And if I encourage you, as you go about your week, continually ask yourself this question: what in my life needs to go? Because the thing is, this isn't a one-time deal. Because the enemy will keep trying to bring things back into the temple of your life. And so we need to continually be checking ourselves. We need to continually take stock of our lives, take stock of our temples, and look and say, what needs to go? You know, the Bible says that we go from glory to glory. That we continue to go further and deeper into the things of Christ. It's not a one-time thing. We can't just ask God to come into the temples of our lives and to, you know, clean everything out and then as soon as he's done, set all the tables back up again. We have to let him knock them down. And then as new tables find their ways in, we have to let him knock those down. And as new tables set themselves up again, we need to let him knock those down. We need to allow ourselves to continually be transformed into his image. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have chosen us to be your dwelling place, that you have chosen us to be your temples, that you have chosen us to put your name on, that you have chosen us to bear your image, to be a reflection of you, Lord God. And so I just pray that you, as we reflect on that, as we reflect on our lives, Lord God, I just pray that you would highlight any areas, any things that we have in our lives that don't bring honor to the name of Jesus, that don't fulfill our purpose of what it means to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And I pray that you would give us boldness to be able to pray the prayer, search me, O God, and find any offensive way within me and lead me on the path everlasting, that we would have the boldness and the courage to tell you to knock down the tables in our lives, Lord God. I pray that we would continually allow ourselves, we would allow our hearts to be soft towards you, Lord God. I thank you that we can put our hearts, we can put our temples in your hands, Lord God, knowing that you have good plans for us, knowing that if we let you knock down the tables, that you are getting rid of the obstacles, you are getting rid of the muck, getting rid of the junk in our lives that can keep us from you, Lord God. And so I just pray tonight that this would be a starting place for us to be able to start to get rid of the junk in our lives, that we would fully step into our purpose of what it means to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, that we would allow ourselves to be continually transformed into your image, into your likeness, Lord God. So we invite you now to come into the temples of our lives, Lord God. And we invite you to knock over anything that you want to. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.